Hello, good morning. First up on the programme, the murder of an elderly Catholic priest in a church in northern France has been one of the headline stories in the news over the past few days. It's one, of course, of a series of terrorist attacks over the last month. DUP MLA Nelson McCausland, writing in the Belfast Telegraph today, draws parallels between these atrocities and those of the Troubles. But is he right? And if he is, can any lessons be learnt from the peace process and in terms of how to tackle terrorism now? I'm joined in the studio by former Lib Dem MP Lembit Opic. Good morning, Lembit.
Good morning to you, sir.
And also online by DUP MP Gregory Campbell. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning, Connie.
First of all, Lembit, you think that there are some kind of lessons we can learn?
Absolutely. Anybody who looks at the history of the peace talks in Northern Ireland knows that ultimately, whatever other factors were involved, negotiation was key. However uncomfortable it is, my view is engagement is essential. My other job, my main job, funny enough why I'm here today, is because I work for the Motorcycle Action Group. And in the past, bikers had a reputation for direct action, for big demonstrations. Now, we put on a suit, we go into the meeting, and we have a discussion. That means that we don't have to do the direct action. A very tame example of what I think is happening with the terrorists, with this kind of militancy. If you have no other means of expression, if you don't feel you've got it, then you're going to go down this violent path. Doesn't make it right, but it does suggest that negotiation, however unpalatable, is a serious alternative route.
Gregory Campbell, so we could negotiate with Islamic State?
Sorry, what was that? I missed that.
Islamic State negotiation with them, do you think is that possible?
Yeah, well, I don't think it is, because if you look at not just this, the recent examples, but much more long-term examples over decades of international terrorism, normally what happens is there has to be an assessment of what the likelihood is of the objectives of the terrorists being achieved. Now, if those terrorists believe that getting into discussions with a government or international government will further their campaign, then they will agree to that. Because, for example, in the current climate, we're talking about an attempt to try and create either a caliphate or a series of caliphates across Europe. And if they thought that that was furthering their goal, then they would agree. It would only be whenever those terrorists finally concede after years, or in our case, decades, that they weren't going to achieve their goals, that they then had to look for a way out. And governments eventually, despite getting on the wrong foot initially, eventually had to be dragged to the point where they could then negotiate with terrorists, them having to disarm and move to...
Lembit, you're shaking your head, Lembit. You don't agree.
I often do agree with Gregory, but I couldn't be more opposed to Gregory's analysis here. Once again, my example. If I had no other means of expression about motorcycle policy, eventually I would up the ante until I had to be heard. Luckily, we can go and see a minister and talk things through. If you look at the same thing about these terrorists, unless they are all insane, and I don't believe they're all insane, they're highly driven people, but not insane, unless they're all insane, they will take the easiest path, just like I would, to get their message across.
How do you negotiate, though, Lembit, with people that are prepared to blow themselves up for what they believe in?
If you look at what was said in the Northern Ireland process, and Gregory, you'll remember this too, 30 years ago, people were saying, you cannot negotiate with these people, they're insane, they're psychotic, they're suicidal in their commitment. Here in Northern Ireland, here, in a 100-mile radius of where we're sitting. But in the end, those people have turned out to be pretty fine politicians, and Gregory, you work with many of those people. In the same sense, if you open the negotiation, if you start that debate, then very quickly, they will drop down to the least dramatic, the least extreme behaviour. They don't, I doubt they want to kill themselves.
But do you genuinely think that they want to talk? Do they want negotiation? Yes. Or do they want fear? Do they want terror? Do they want us afraid to go to certain countries, afraid to leave our homes?
No, I don't think so. I think that's the method for the outcome. And Gregory, you were saying that they want to create a caliphate. If they've got an objective, they'll use the simplest, least dramatic means to achieve that. I don't think their goal is terrorism. Their goal is perhaps a caliphate. So let's sit down and discuss the goal. Once you start doing that, once you start even shouting, then the shooting can stop.
No, but the mistake that you're making, Lambeth, whenever we go down this route of saying, well, look, because they've got to understand that there is another option, They have the other option, just as most terrorists have another option, which is spell out what their demands are, set them before whatever international audience they wish to do, go before an electorate in either a nation or a series of nations, and see where that takes them. That option is there, just as it was in our context and in other contexts. If people choose not to take it, but to take the route that you describe as the easier route or the more direct route, then they have to understand that that is totally unacceptable. They have to understand that that will be met with the forces of the state confronting them, so that they then have to take the decision, which is their decision to make.
Okay.
Do we go down the route of beheading people and what we've seen in recent days in terms of the attack in the church in France, or do they say, we're going to set that to one side and we're going to adopt the very principles of the people that we despise.
Okay, we want your calls on this morning, 030 30 80 55 55. If we start, Lambert, to talk and to negotiate with these people, does that to an extent mean that terrorism pays? They are getting what you say they want.
Right, Gregory is making moral points, which I happen to agree with. But if I look at what I did for 10 years as Shadow Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, it wasn't about vengeance, it was about peace. Now, if peace is the solution, or sorry, the desired outcome here, then we might have to do unpalatable things. It's hard to swallow the bitter pill of talking to people who are willing to cut their people's heads off. But my judgment is, if we say, hate what you're doing, want to know why, and here's an alternative, then we can make progress. Okay. And maybe reduce the bloodshed.
Liam, good morning.
How you doing, Vinny?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just listening there that what you were saying was that Nelson McCausland has written an article contrasting what has happened in France with the killing of a Catholic priest and the conflict here in Ireland. Now, forgive me, I haven't read the article yet, but the most obvious contrast is the killing of two Catholic priests here in Ballymurphy by the British Army in 1971 and 1972. Both the Catholic priests, Hugh Mullen and Noah Fitzpatrick, were killed in broad daylight whilst waving white flags and were killed by British soldiers. So if you're going to draw a comparison with what the killing of the Catholic priest in France with the conflict here in Ireland, you have to start there.
You see, that's the point. We seem to have forgotten, and it's a good example, actually, and so is Bloody Sunday. We've forgotten the things that have happened here, the collusion between the state, now totally proven, and paramilitary activities. So let us not pretend that we have a kind of a good, respectable, sane kind of terrorism in Northern Ireland, but an insane, unrespected terrorism in the Middle East. Human beings are the same all over the world.
Gregory, and a different kind of terrorism?
This is an absurd comparison. You know, if police or soldiers in a democracy, whether they disobey orders, whether they overreact, whether they operate in a split-second timing operation and they make a mistake, there's no comparison between night and day, between that type of scenario and a cold-blooded, absolute, ruthless determination by people who set out, whose only objective when they set out is to either behead someone or to take women and children away from
That
leads me to my next question, Gregory. What do you think, Gregory, is the end goal for the likes of ISIS? What is it that they want? You know, as Lambert's maybe suggesting, that they want negotiation, there's an end goal? Is it simply terror?
Well, have you ever heard any leading mainstream ISIS representatives spell out that they seek discussions and negotiations with the West? I've heard them on numerous occasions say they want the conquest of the West.
So, Lambert, what do they want?
To absorb the West into a caliphate. I've never heard them say, we'd like to sit down and have a talk about this over a cup of coffee, please.
Let's not mix up process and outcome. Gregory more or less outlines the outcome. I think they want a caliphate, a kind of an Islamic state. That's what they're called. But let's look at the process. What I'm saying to you, Gregory, and the caller, I think, makes a good comparison. What I'm saying to you is we've got to remember the lessons of history here. In Northern Ireland, the IRA often said they wanted to bring down the United Kingdom economy. That's one reason they attacked the city and everything else. That's all forgotten now because we got a peace. I'm saying this difficult thing, if we look at our own responsibilities here, and if it's not about vengeance, if it's about peace, we need to talk with them. Just one other little thing here. We're hardly blameless ourselves in our Middle Eastern politics. Iraq and Afghanistan have not been shining examples of us not intervening. And if you live in Afghanistan, if members of your family have been killed by Western foreign policy, it's hardly surprising that provokes a response.
Let's roll back a second, though, Lembit, because I think what Gregory is trying to say is that the Islamic State, they don't want to negotiate. It's not possible to negotiate with them.
I don't agree with that. I think that they are a disparate organisation, lots of lone wolves and so on. I'm suggesting if we coalesced into saying, what do you want? Let's sit here and let's start with the objective. Very quickly, you would have a leadership you could talk with.
Okay.
Well then, but I'll tell you one way you can prove this, and it would be the cynic in me that would suggest it. You go and do the negotiating.
I wouldn't have an objection to doing that.
You would seriously be up for doing that?
If there was a mechanism, Gregory, I would do it. The reason I answer so quickly because I've wondered that.
Okay.
I've wondered whether I should put my money where my mouth is.
Okay, just a second. More callers.
I think that wouldn't be a great idea, Limbaugh.
More callers on this. Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Brian.
I've listened to this argument for many times. I've been on the radio for many times. Does people not understand that these people want to take over the world with their religion? They don't agree with Protestant, Catholic, Hindu, Presbyterian, you name it. They want to talk on their terms. And that's the only way they're going to talk, if they do talk. So, I mean, why do people keep insisting they have to talk? They want to take over the world. There's people that realise that there, and there's no way they're going to change their views. And they'll keep doing what they're doing.
So, Brian, you think there's no talking to and there's no negotiation?
No. I mean, people, not the same part, but if you go back to the 30s, certain people, and probably Churchill says, watch this man, Hitler, be careful of this man. And they didn't take heed, and look what he did.
Look what we've done. We invaded Iraq. It looks pretty obvious on a false premise there. Imagine if members of your family had been killed by Iraq invading the United Kingdom. Let's turn it the other way around. Imagine if you had no means of expression, but your family members were killed by an invasion which potentially was illegal. That's what we did. That, whether rightly or wrongly, that's what it looks like to them, and it's hardly surprising it's provoked a violent response.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, in Iraq and so forth, there is some kind of talking going on, isn't there? Would you agree with me with that? There's still some negotiation going on in that part of the world.
There is, with the recognised government there, but yeah. We have also hardly been blameless in helping militants in places like Syria. Many of those militants that we were helping have gone into ISIL. Yeah. Oh, We've actually helped create the problem.
We did. I totally agree with you, but the whole thing about it is, how do you stop ISIS?
This is the point that keeps coming up again and again, Len, but people believe that the end result, what ISIS want, is not something that we can give them. So whether they want to negotiate or not, where is the leeway with that?
Right, well, Brian and Gregory are both expressing the mainstream point. I accept what I'm saying here is controversial. I'm sitting here in your studio saying things that many of your listeners will find uncomfortable. The direct answer to your question is, if we spoke with them, very quickly they would say, our objective isn't to kill people in the West. Our objective is a caliphate.
What makes you think that isn't their objective?
Because
They post these videos online, regardless of the reason behind why they do. But when they post these videos, beheading people, blowing people up, throwing people off the top of buildings.
Method is what
fear.
You're describing.
Fear.
Their method is fear. Their method is violent execution, as we've seen in France recently. But that's not their purpose. Unless they're psychotic, and maybe there will be some psychotic people there, it's different. Their objective isn't just to kill people on a mass scale. Their objective is to create, let's say, the caliphate, like Gregory said. So if that's their objective, why don't we say, and this is the big challenge, this is the question, is there a way that we can be involved in this which stops them from using those violent means?
Okay.
I'm saying there is.
Gregory, let me put this question to you. Do you think, does it help the peace process here when your colleague Nelson McCallison is putting articles like he has in the Belfast Telegraph this morning, given that yourselves, the DUP, you share power with Sinn Féin?
No, I think it does help. Because what we have to remember here, and Limpet, and I think that he won't be alone in this, is mistaking what happened in Northern Ireland and trying to draw an unhelpful comparison. What happened in Northern Ireland was there was a brutal, ruthless terrorist campaign, which went on for decades. Now, there did appear to be a stalemate in terms of a resolution to the problems that we had. But it was only broken. It wasn't broken because people decided let's have talks with terrorists, because the terrorism went on while those talks and discussions were taking place. There was only an ultimate resolution when those behind the terrorism realized that the terrorism wasn't working. Now, there's no indication at all, none whatsoever, that ISIS or any of the representatives of
Brian's
ISIS,
wanting back in there,
that they've come to that point. And until they do, it would be totally counterproductive to get involved in discussion.
Okay, go ahead, Brian.
I mean, we're getting off the subject. I just say this to Gregory. If there had been civil rights prior to 1869, there wouldn't have been any troubles. You know that for a fact.
Well, I mean, I wanted civil rights as well, but it didn't shoot people to get them.
Okay. Well, hold on. The Unionist Party were the blame for starting all this trouble in 1969. You know,
right. It's getting on to a different discussion here. So let's stay on the focus for what we're talking about this morning. Fra, good morning.
Good morning, Vinny.
Go ahead.
Yes, Vinny, I'm following up just to put things in context and maybe to agree with some of the things that the Limpet's been saying. Obviously, Western foreign policy for decades has been to bomb different parts of the Middle East, to destabilise regimes that aren't seen to be in favour of Western values, Western banks and Western industrialists. And if you're going to bomb generations of people in the Middle East, make them live under occupation and make them live 24/7 with a threat of violence and indeed hundreds of thousands of violent deaths, obviously people are going to become radicalised who wouldn't have become radicalised.
So what do we do, Fran? How do we try and tackle the likes of ISIS?
OK, well, I think the first thing you need is peace. And the first step towards peace is negotiations. But the most important thing here is the foreign policy of Western governments like America and Britain, France and Germany. You need to change the foreign policy whereby they don't think that regime change is the number one route to change policies in sovereignly elected democratic governments or dictatorships in the Middle East or anywhere else.
Fra, that is exactly the point. Imagine if the Middle East started to choose regime change in the United Kingdom to get their objectives. There would be a violent response in this country. Now, once again, let's separate the right and wrong from the psychological reality. And Fra, I think you summed it up. And interestingly, there is an analogy from 1969. The troubles here were massively turbocharged by the fact that there was a sense of enormous injustice, particularly in the Republican communities. In the same way, a lot of the violence has been stimulated in the Middle East by a sense of an enormous response to a sense of a lack of civil liberties there.
Gregory, I want you to give your response to that.
Yeah, well, I think Fra's analysis, unfortunately, is a sort of like an international leftist response, you know, that the West are to blame for all of the ills, you know. And there isn't any,
Believe, Gregory, that the West have had any role to play, responsibility on their shoulders?
I think the West have misunderstood on very many occasions, particularly problems in the Middle East and elsewhere. But to blame the West for problems, I mean, I don't know any Western government that wants to westernize Middle Eastern countries or Far Eastern countries, and the problems that have ensued there in any of those nations are as a result of that westernisation.
There
policy.
Are a lot of commentators, Gregory, that would say that the invasion of Iraq, for example, it was one of the kickstarters for ISIS.
Well, there are some people who say that. The problem that they have is that they either overlook or minimise the problems that were in Iraq before the invasion. There were massive problems in the Middle East before. Now, I would not argue that the situation has improved since, but nobody should try and outline that things were okay and hunky-dory when Saddam Hussein was in power.
No,
the problems have occurred since the invasion. It was
Libya.
Far from it.
Benny, look at Libya and look at Syria, the destabilisation in Syria, look what's happening in Afghanistan and Sudan and the Yemen. All these countries are a focus of Western foreign policy. Gaddafi said whenever Libya fell, which it did, and you've got two different governments that are fighting over the natural resources of the country, whenever it had failed, he said you would have a wave of immigrants heading Fortress Europe, and that's exactly what's happened. If the West continues to destabilise secular and forward-looking democracies and dictatorships in the Middle East, what you're going to have is the total balkanisation and destruction of the Middle East, and you're going to have waves of immigrants, you're going to have waves of people who have who have a cause, which they didn't have before. People bombed Homs, bombed Aleppo, bombed Damascus, bombed Baghdad. It's a terrible thing to say, but it's payback from people who've been under the cosh and under occupation.
There's a lot of calls coming in this morning. I want to try and get through a few more of them. Jim Wilson, good morning.
Morning.
What do you think, Jim? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, Vinny, I think Lambert, you know, I don't disagree with Lambert on certain parts of what he's saying. I do agree that even the dissident Republicans in Northern Ireland, we need to eventually engage with them and find out what the problem is and what it is they think they need. And
do you think the comparison that was drawn in that article, was it fair?
No, I didn't see the article, to be honest with you, but I'm just listening to what Lambert's saying. But Lambert did not into part of his stuff. What Gregory did was that the IRA had a 30-year war, and after 20 years in long cash, Adams and others realised that they weren't going to win that war. And then that's what ended up bringing them to the negotiating table. It wasn't in the sense in the way, but you know, that what's happening over here with ISIS. ISIS have an ideology that wants to destroy you and me, even though we are civilized human beings. They want to destroy what we believe in. And I don't know where Lambert's coming from about a discussion with people with that ideology. They're killing more of their own people, Muslims, than they're killing anyone. So they are, whether the terrorist attacks in Europe and all that's happening.
Lambert, but you'll want to respond to that.
I don't understand, Lambert. Yeah. You know, you need to explain to me.
Let him respond to you, Jim. Go ahead, Lambert.
Let me ask him this question. Explain to me how you can sit down with people who have this type of ideology and are massacring their own people and doing what they're doing to as many of the Muslim religion as what they're doing to the Christian religion.
I cannot. It's a great question. And there are two very simple elements to the answer. First of all, winners write the history. We see what's going on there through a Western filter. So we necessarily put ourselves in a more favourable light, whether we intend to or not. We do that to justify our actions. And secondly, I believe that if you take the heat away from the fire, things can cool down. And we are not blameless in this situation. Our allies, for example, Saudi Arabia, have killed thousands of civilians, women, children in Yemen for reasons of self-interest. So the simple answer, if I put all that together to you, is this. If we show a negotiating table to them, and if they think we're serious, then the shooting might stop and the shouting can start.
Jim?
Well, Lambert, the problem that I have with that is that, you know, their ideology does not give them any room for movement.
It does. Okay, it does.
No, well, let's go back to... I want to bring Gregory back in there.
Why would they?
Just a second, Jim. We'll come back to you in a second. Sorry. I want to bring Gregory back in there just on something Jim said a few moments ago in terms of negotiation with dissidents. What's your thoughts on that? What's your reaction to that, Gregory?
Well, I think it's a similar rerun to what we had 20, 25 years ago. At the moment, there doesn't appear, on the face of it, when you look at the attitude between sort of mainstream Sinn Féin politicians and dissidents and the animosity that there is between those two groups, and it's manifested in a series of places. It's manifested in North Belfast. I see it in Londonderry and the border in Uri, you see it. Until you get the dissidents to the point that Sinn Féin politicians and the Republican movement, as they grandiosely call themselves, to the point that they came to about 25 years ago, I don't see much point in talking to dissidents either. If they come to the point where they realise...
So is that a no, we shouldn't negotiate with dissidents?
Sorry?
Is that a no, we shouldn't negotiate with dissidents?
Well, I don't think there's any point in negotiating with dissidents unless they arrive at the point that Sinn Féin arrived at 25 years ago.
But it's not a passive thing. We can create circumstances where the dissidents would prefer to talk than to shoot. And the same goes for the Middle East.
But Lambert, what you must not do is, in creating those conditions, lead whether it's the dissidents or ISIS or anyone else, lead them to believe that their campaign of terror has actually worked. That's what you must not do, because if you do that, you will then only encourage internally within their organisation the campaign to continue.
No, I think
only when that campaign has been brought to an end or they realise the futility of it.
This is going back then, Lambert, to that argument of terrorism to an extent paying. You're getting what you want, whether that's negotiation, whatever your end goal is, you're getting there.
This is at the very heart of the matter, and Gregory's right to raise it, but I take the opposite view. If you think that negotiation increases the risk of terrorism, then I'm wrong and Gregory's right. But that's not my life experience. My 51 years on the planet and 30 years in politics.
Well, here's the next question. How long do we wait? When do we try and negotiate with them?
Now.
If you look at the IRA example and the years of the Troubles, when do we try?
Now. We do it now because the victims are over 80 people in Nice, civilians. Civilians are dying at the moment, so we start now. We say, well, then, what do you want? How do we get there?
The next question, then, you have people that are connected with ISIS and they attack, they kill because they have been, you know, from their command, however you want to describe that. But what about the people that have no connection? They see the thing on the news, they watch stuff on Facebook, etc., and they feel connected to that cause, and therefore they decide they're going to go out and they're going to kill someone. Not because they've been told to, or because necessarily there's some higher command, but because they want to.
They're easily led people, but also it means...
How do you control them if you get a negotiation?
They're easily led people, and therefore if they conceive that their leadership doesn't want them to do it, for example, because it compromises their ability to get to their objective, they'll desist. You can't stop psychos, but you can, to some extent, prevent those people who think they're genuinely doing the right thing for their cause, however misguided they are. And we learned that in Northern Ireland, and no one can deny that.